Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable, episode number 65. Today we're going to discuss Once Upon a Time, episode 18, Heart of Gold. I'm Karen, and today I'm joined by Brittany and Kristen. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Not too bad.
It's kind of early for Kristen, so she's a little sleepy.
Mornings are hard.
I agree. So I'm reading what Brittany wrote in the doc here.
I made the doc. It's going to be full of surprises.
It is. I skimmed through it. It's brilliant, of course. We have a lot of rewatchable in our system as of late, so we're getting kind of sassy. But the tagline for this episode is going to be, "This episode is brought to you by Robin's Tavern. Even if the ale is lacking, Nottingham will still come for taxing." It's pretty good.
Appropriate. Yep. This week is tax week.
Yes, it is. Ugh, taxes. Okay, so Brittany, why don't you go first? Thumbs up or thumbs down for this episode?
Thumbs way up, finally. I'm finally confident that I can go into this episode with a huge thumbs up. A lot of things happened. I think the writers finally realized, okay, we need to step this up. We don't know what we're doing, so we're going to bring back Zelina and just make everything good, and Gold is going to suffer an incredible amount, and it's perfect. And I feel good about it.
Kristen, what about you?
Definitely a thumbs up, because I was surprised for once in quite a while, actually. I mean, like, there have been little surprises, but we had some pretty big ones this week. So definitely a thumbs up.
I agree with you guys 100%. Thumbs way up for me. And I think it boils down to Zelina, because I was not expecting that in the slightest. And like you said, you know, there's been little surprises, but nothing too crazy. And this was kind of crazy. So yeah, I'm totally here for it for a lot of reasons that we will get into later. But let's go into our quotes. I'm going to go first because mine's like inconsequential. It just made me laugh really hard. But when we first get into the sort of flashback, when Robin goes to New York City for the first time, you just see this overview of the city and you hear somebody going, "Hey, I'm walking here, I'm walking here." And I'm like, really?
And I have to tell you, that's hilarious, because yesterday my mother and I were out shopping and I like said that and was like, "Midnight Cowboy reference for the win." And then it happened in the episode and I was like, whoa, okay. This is a little weird.
I just always think of Miss Congeniality.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I didn't know it was a Midnight Cowboy reference because I thought of Miss Congeniality as well.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's from Midnight Cowboy. She references Midnight Cowboy, but it's still the same thing. And I love Miss Congeniality too. So.
Yeah, close enough. It's all relevant. Brittany, what about you? What's your favorite quote?
Mine was right at the beginning of the episode where Gold runs into the author in the forest and the author tells him, "You are quite possibly the biggest pain in the ass I've ever had the displeasure of writing about."
If that wasn't everybody's favorite line in this episode, you're doing it wrong.
Pretty much.
And I forgot about it. I was looking up quotes this morning and I was like, oh, that happened, because so much happened after that. That I was thinking, I'm like, oh, Zelina had to have said something. And then I was like, no, there's a great quote right at the beginning.
Yeah, no, that was definitely my favorite. It stuck out. Like, I was like, did that somebody claim it? Darn it. Yes. Okay, all right.
So then what was your second favorite?
Well, I chose a quote from Emma. It's not as funny. I usually go for the funny, but this week not so much. She says, I'm only the savior because you altered the entire state of being – the entire state of my being at the expense of someone else's soul. The way that Emma says this to them, like, she understands the gravity of exactly what they did. And she is, like, disgusted by them and by what they did. She can't imagine that Prince Charming and Snow White would stoop so low. And I just loved this moment. I loved how she said it and exactly what she was getting across to them. So I really, really liked that line.
There were a lot of fantastic quotes in this episode, actually. And there were a lot of funny ones. Like, one of my favorite ones, too, was when Marion slash Zelina was like, don't worry, it's non-drowsy. Like, I definitely laughed at that one. But the other one that I really liked from Emma was when she said they were worried about opening the door to let the author out. And she's like, about her going dark and everything. She just turns to her parents and the look on her face. And she just says, I'm not worried about it. Are you? And there's so much like almost hatred there. Just anger, fury, I guess is probably the best word, that that line really stuck out to me too. Okay, so let's jump into the past. This is Robin of Loxley, the early years. And the first thing is that we see Robin and Marion. They've retired from their thieving life and they've opened a tavern. She's a waitress and he is the barkeep. And Little John comes up to them and he wants some gold. And Robin's sort of given up this life. So what, first of all, what did you guys think of that? Because I wasn't really expecting that at this part of the episode for them to have sort of settled down already.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, like, we'll get to this because I built it in because I really want to discuss this in depth. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I didn't know where we were in the timeline. So, yeah. Like, this is clearly before the Merry Men were, like, created or, like, when they changed their mission statement, I should say. So this was, like, after Robin was only being a thief just for the thrill of being a thief and getting by for himself. So this is, like, post that, but before he becomes, like, Robin Hood. So he's not even Robin Hood yet, which if I had to pick a nickname, like, Robin Hood, I mean, he had all the opportunity in the world now. He's stuck with it. He gave that name to himself. but I loved that Little John comes up to the, like, to the bar, and he's just like, listen, Midas is passing through if you want to jump him, like, you know, and just get a couple of extra gold coins. He's like, no, we retired. So I was very confused until, like, the Sheriff of Nottingham came in, because I was like, oh, we're way, way back, like, so far before Roland, like, all of that.
Right. I think that's what confuses me, is that Marion, in all the other stories I've seen, Marion comes later. She's already Robin Hood when that happens. And so the fact that they've incorporated her much earlier into the story, I think, is skewing everything. But if you can come to terms with the fact that she was there for that transition of him being a thief to him being Robin Hood, it kind of makes it a little bit easier to pan it out.
I was gonna say, I just love all of their leering in the tavern. Like, all of their little, like, looks at each other as she's waiting tables. It just made me happy.
I was trying to figure out if in once, short of going back and actually watching the episode, because I would never do that, but in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, when they show Will Scarlet and Robin Hood, I always assumed that was the first time that they met, and then that was, like, just completely thrown in this episode.
Right.
But I couldn't remember if Marion, like, was there or was somewhere else, because I was just trying to remember if Robin Hood had mentioned her at that point, because that was clearly while he was with Marion, because they were the Merry Men then. So this, that whole event happened after this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think he was, but I mean, I can't, definitely can't quote it. So I guess if any listeners,
on the run or something.
Yeah. If any listeners remembers more detail than us, let us know, because the timeline of Once Upon a Time is so winding that it's so hard to keep track of it. But let's talk about Sheriff of Nottingham, because Brittany has some feelings about him.
He's very handsome. When he walked in, I was like, who are you? Oh, why are you the Sheriff of Nottingham?
I know. He's such a prick, though. Like, he plays that part really well.
Yes, and it's much better than, like, in the animated film where they're coming in and, like, shaking the cast out from the little old dog. Do you guys remember the animated Robin Hood film? It was a huge hit in our house, so.
I was going to say, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We actually just watched it a couple months ago. Like, it's a huge hit here.
Well, he comes in and he wants his taxes, of course, because they always want their taxes. And Robin can't pay. And, you know, they kind of clear out, give him 2 days. And Rumple shows up and wants to make a deal with him. He wants to send him after a potion in the Land of Oz. And in exchange, he'll give Robin some gold. And first of all, this Rumpelstiltskin was on point. This is the theatrical and just sort of crazy Rumpel that I love seeing.
Yeah, before he became a total jerk face who we all hate. Yeah, I love the flashbacks of Rumpel when you get him being, you know, being the dark one and all of his like twitchy and finger tapping ways. I love it.
Okay, so did you guys, I don't know if you guys tend to watch the promotional material ahead of time. Brittany, I'm sure you do because you cover it for Hypeable, so you see everything. But I actually wasn't expecting them to go to Oz. So that was a neat twist to be able to visit that land again.
Yeah, like I knew Zelina was brought back a long time ago because they were talking about, there were like reports that she was filming, but it was only going to be in flashback form. So that threw me for a loop. Like, I was even surprised, having already known that Zelina was coming back, that she was going to be in it more than they originally suspected. But I liked that they went back to Oz at a different time. Like, it felt like this is Zelina, like, in the midst of her, like, trying to figure out what she wants to do next and what move she wants to make, and then running into Robin. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and when he gets there, the door that he goes through lands on a couple of guards, and that's a very iconic sort of, you know, just the shot of the feet under the door. So I was happy to see that.
Definitely. Yeah, and I liked that he took the uniform like they do in the movie, like they rustle the guards and they take their uniforms and just march right into the palace unnoticed.
Yeah, that was good. Dorothy. So how did you like seeing Will Scarlet again? Because I was sort of like multitasking while I was watching this, and I had my head down and I heard his voice and my head just snapped up and I was like, Will. And it was nice to have a little bit more backstory on him, a little bit more of like where he's been since the last time we've seen him, or even, well, like I said, the time frame, not entirely sure when exactly this takes place, but we'll get to that in a minute. But Will is always A plus in my book.
Especially since we just discussed like a week or so ago how much we missed him and how much we want him to be a part of the main story. And then ta-da, it's finally here. We're like, yay. So I was really, really excited to get more of Will.
And Robin goes up to the castle and he takes the potion from Zelina. She's not in a good mood. She does this like replicating thing, and Robin's pretty smart about defeating her and getting the heck out of there. So, you know, that was great. But he tells Will that he doesn't have the potion, and they sort of, you know, Will's like accepting of it, whatever, and they hug it out and they go their separate ways. And Brittany, I know you felt the same way as I did. I would have bet money that Will took the potion from Robin.
Yeah. As soon as they hugged, I was like, oh, he pickpocketed him.
Yes,
like,
exactly. But it turns out that he didn't.
And Robin gave it to him.
Yeah, and I just love how Will was like, scoundrel. Like, he was so pleased. And I thought that was a really nice twist, because it can be a little hard sometimes to like Will when he's constantly thieving and he's constantly lying and, you know, turning his back on people who may have helped him otherwise. And it was nice to see, like, this giving between them at this point. So what ends up happening anyway is that Robin took something else. He takes this six-leaf clover from Zelina, and he turns his life around. And we see the Merry Men, and he gives money back to the people, and he sort of jumps the Sheriff of Nottingham, and he takes over. And this is when he decides to become Robin Hood. And Marion is with him the whole time. So at this point, were you guys kind of getting a sense of the timeline?
Yeah, this was when it kind of broke open, and it was easy to see, okay, we're finally at the Robin Hood we all know and love. Like, all of that happened to kind of push him toward his ultimate path. So yeah, this event kind of cleared the way and cleared things up for me.
Cool. And Brittany, I know you wrote all of this out and you did a really good job of sort of like breaking it down. So why don't you explain to the best of your ability this timeline for us?
Okay. So I sat down after the episode and I wrote out what I believe is how things happen. So Robin's a thief for his own benefit. Like, he's only stealing for himself. Then he meets Marion. They get married. Robin decides to quit stealing and he opens a tavern. And then he goes to Oz because he needs money to pay for his taxes. Then he meets Will, and that's their first meeting. Then they give him the potion, blah, blah, blah. Robin goes back and he decides to become Robin Hood. Then the Merry Men are formed, which is when the Sheriff of Nottingham comes in and they're all up in arms and ready to fight. But they take the gold and they give it out to the people. Then Robin meets Will again. This is Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, when Will comes to him and he's like, I need to do something with my life. I need to be a better person. I'm a good thief. But then he tricks them into letting him go into Maleficent's castle to steal something else that he wasn't supposed to steal. And Maleficent lets him keep the gold, and then the gold's cursed. I don't know if anyone watched Wonderland, but that's what happened. A little brief recap. And they take a blood oath, and that's when he like swears that he'll be a merry man, but then he ruins that. So then Will leaves the merry men and Robin Hood and goes back to his adventures with Alice. Then Robin and his buddies hang out in a new tavern, which is, I think, on their path of just being the merry men. Like, they happen to stop one night there. And that is when Regina sees him. And so then Regina leaves. Like, that's when she runs away. And then there's a couple curses, like, you know, some smoke clouds. People are transported all over the place and back in time and whatever. So then we finally get back in time to the lost year, where Regina comes back, because this is when Robin Hood comes up again. And they meet it during that lost year. And that's when she saves Roland and, like, they start to, like, see each other for the real people that they are. There's another curse. And there's another portal. And they all go back to the present. And Robin comes with them. And then we're going to get to this in a minute, but then Marion dies before the second portal is open when they decide to bring her back. So Marion is killed by Zelina and they bring back Zelina, not Marion. Then Marion turns into the popsicle and then Robin takes her when she wakes up to the land without magic. And now we're living with Zelina in New York. So hopefully that is how it works, but I'm not entirely sure.
I think that's a pretty good breakdown, honestly. And it kind of cleared a couple things up for me, especially in the beginning. Because like I said, the whole Marion thing being incorporated into the story much sooner than I'm used to kind of threw me for a loop. But I think I have it figured out now. Hopefully we're right.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing. Like, this could be completely wrong.
Right. So listeners, weigh in, let us know what you think is going on, and hopefully we can get it all straightened out.
Without having to go back and watch Wonderland again.
Right. So now we're going to hop into the present, sort of. This is like taking place 9 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And this is, Brittany has labeled this as Robin of Duhood, the golden days, which is so appropriate. And I hope we make Robin of Duhood the title. But we get there to New York City and Roland doesn't like the noise and Marion's purse gets snatched and Robin takes a horse and tracks him down and tackles the guy and gets the purse back, which is awesome. But I was just like, how much trouble is he going to get in for all of that? And did he actually get into any trouble?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we like heard sirens when he's standing there after he's knocked this guy off and stolen the purse back. Like, I really thought we were going to have a Robin Hood in prison scene. Like, I thought this was happening and then he just kind of stood there. So I was like, oh, okay. Maybe we're not going to be in trouble. No worries.
Yeah.
As long as he returns the horse, I think you'd be
okay. Well, that's the thing. The horse just ran off. I'm like, so there's this random horse that's just running around New York City right now.
Yeah, really. I thought that too. I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, they end up getting back to Neil's apartment, and Regina gave them the key to it, and they're going to crash there for a while. But somebody else has the same plan, and that's Gold. Gold shows up, and Brittany, you put this into the doc. Is this pre-Ursula? I'm like 99% sure this is pre-Ursula, because this is when he first gets to New York City.
Yeah, I would think that this was like what – I wasn't entirely sure. Like now I'm a little bit clearer, because I think his plan unhatched to get Ursula after Zelina like nearly killed him.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what ends up happening is Gold has a heart attack. But it's not necessarily a medical thing. It has to do with him being the Dark One, and this is him now living the consequences of all of his actions, especially now that he's out of Storybrooke and can't use magic to keep it contained. So, Tristan, what do you think about the fact that he is kind of dying of almost natural causes at this point, that Rumpel could end up dying from a heart attack? I mean, yes, it was caused by magic, but it's not like somebody will vanquish him or something like that.
Right. Definitely, like, trippy and weird. I couldn't help but sit there, and I'm watching him laying in this hospital bed, and I'm like, there's got to be something. Like, there's got to be some sort of magic or something he can do. As much as I don't like Rumpel, I'm still sitting there thinking, there's got to be some magical solution to all of this. And so then, you know, we kind of get into the whole potion of it all. It's definitely kind of poetically just that it's his magic killing him, and it has nothing to do with anybody doing anything to him. It's all the damage he's done himself.
Right. Brittany, you have some issues with all of the apartments that are in this episode, don't you?
With the apartments?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm back. I know where we are now. Okay. I was like, because I was reading the next note under Gold's medical issues, and I'm like, oh, I have issues with something else. But, oh, yes, I do have issues with apartments. Okay. So who, first of all, is renewing these leases? Are they rent controlled? Because no one has been to Neil's apartment in at least a year. And then you have the shop from when the wizard was living there, like, you know, watching over Emma. Like, he just has like this beautiful storefront in a probably like prime location, and no one has bothered to take it over or look for the owner or anything. Are they just like paid in full for 10 years?
Maybe.
I'm just very confused. I would love Neil's apartment in New York that is like suitable, like, you know, like you can just come and go as you please. It's probably one like low monthly payment, because I'm not sure how currency would transfer from Storybrooke to here. Like, I don't think they pay for anything in Storybrooke.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Except taxes.
Except taxes. But yeah, I had a few issues with that.
All very interesting how that works, but you know, details, they're not that important. Okay, so what I want to talk about really quickly is Robin breaking into the police station and like busting out through the window at the end and running down the alleyway. I just thought it was so hilarious. And these cops are probably like, what the heck? Because I was trying to imagine like a regular criminal doing that, and I don't think they would have been quite that bold. I don't know. I feel like thieves these days are a lot more stupid than Robin is, but I thought that was a great little scene.
I just loved that the drawer that the secret, you know, potions and magical items are in is literally just a push it and it pops open for you. That got me. I laughed so hard. I was like, of course it's not locked or anything. You just have to touch it.
Okay, so should we talk about the big twist now? Because this really threw me for a loop. We see Marion. Okay, well, first of all, let's start at the beginning. Robin comes in, gives Rumpel the potion, as long as he promises to leave his family alone and lets them stay in that apartment. Rumpel agrees. Robin leaves. He drinks the potion. Nothing happens. Marion strolls in And she's like, ha ha ha, I tricked him. This is the real potion. She holds it up for Rumple. And I'm like, Marion, I don't know if I like you very much right now. I was really disappointed in her because she never seemed that conniving to me. Lo and behold, it's actually Zelina. And I was really surprised. I'm guessing from everything we said, you guys were too.
Yeah. Yes. To say the least, yeah.
But they did a pretty good job of explaining it without leaving out too many details. Like, they kind of patched up the storyline and explained how she got from, you know, her supposed death into the other world through the portal, how she killed Marion way back when. So Marion was never Marion, and took over her body and used the clover to do all of that. So I was pretty happy that they ended up doing this and explained it all, because they don't always do that, and that can get a little frustrating when you have those plot holes, because there's a lot of plot in this show and a lot of details that we pick up on, and if there's too many questions unanswered, it can get really frustrating.
I mean, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I mean, I do too still. But the other thing I'm really happy about with this is the fact that Marion's not really Marion, so Robin can be with Regina now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I wish Laura was with us, because she'd probably be so happy right now.
I'm so pumped about that, because, like, I started to, like Marion in this episode only because she was getting sassy. She was getting, like, you need to choose, like, now. Like, mm-hmm. This is getting old. And I was like, okay, good for you. Like, you're finally sticking up for yourself. Like, you are an independent, strong woman. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, well, that's the end of that. Like, she's just there now. It's like, because you know when you see her, it's not her, which is going to be a little weird.
Yeah. How do you like Zelina as a villain? Are you happy to see her back?
Well, I can't say, like, when I saw the previews for this week and we kind of knew she was coming back in some capacity, I wasn't, like, thrilled, like, just my initial reaction. I wasn't disappointed because she was a really good villain last year. Like, she did have very specific, like, goals or whatnot. Like, I really liked her, but I wasn't, like, thrilled about it. After all of this drama, I was really, like, more excited to see her back. I was like, okay, she's going to be a legitimate threat. She's going to be somebody we really have to deal with. Like, I was actually really, really happy about it in the end. Like, it wasn't exactly something that struck me as, you know, a great move forward for them when I first thought about it, but now I can totally see what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think it answers a lot more questions that I had about Rumple being willing to throw Regina under the bus to get the happy endings, because, like we were saying a couple weeks ago even, I think it was, like, destroying, like, Rumple would have absolutely no compassion or heart in him, which we don't think he does anyway, but to destroy Regina's happy ending, which in turn affects Henry's happy ending. So having Zelina be the one who wants to destroy Regina makes a lot more sense than having, like, Gold using her as a pawn, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Zelina, you know, that actress is really great. She's really sassy. She's got this sort of quirk to her that makes her a little outlandish, but at the same time, you take her seriously, which can be hard to do with some of the villains on this show. But I think she does a fantastic job. And I think it's funny, too, that she's the one controlling Rumple at this point when she was his student. So Rumple hopefully is going to have to answer for some of his actions. And while I hope they don't rehash too much of what we've already seen of her, I am excited to have her back and go in maybe a different direction and maybe a little bit darker, because she's definitely not holding back at this point, and she wants what she wants, and she's going to try her hardest to get it.
Random question. Mm. Does this make Roland her child?
No, because Roland was in the old world and she wasn't killed yet, I don't think.
Well, she killed Marion when Emma and Hook were back in time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but Roland was already born, because Roland was already in the present. So when they were back in time, Oh,
but
you
they
know what?
Changed the timeline.
Yeah, that was really far back.
I just couldn't help but wonder.
No, because
that
makes
means...
sense, because Emma wasn't even born yet, so Roland definitely wasn't born.
So Zelina has a kid.
Well, wait a second. Okay, so yes, they went back in time and they grabbed her, but Roland was already in the present. So I think you're actually talking about like parallel universes almost, because Roland existed in the present, and therefore I think that, wait.
See, that
because Regina would have killed Marion. So that was when she was going to die. She was already, they already had Roland. They changed the end of her story.
No, but when Emma is back in time, that is, like, she's trying to get her parents together. So Emma's not even born yet when Marion dies.
And I can totally see how Roland would still be Roland because she is pretending to be Marion. So it doesn't change who Roland is. It just changes literally his mother. Like, all of her actions would be as Marion, and she'd be trying to keep the veil of whatever, however she wants to stay Marion from, you know, because she's going to have to pretend to be Marion technically for a long time, even though it all happens instantly because it's all the magic of time travel. Like, but technically she was Marion for a very long period of time. So it would make sense that Roland would still stay Roland because she was pretending to be Marion the whole time, but technically wouldn't he be her kid rather than Marion's?
I don't think so. Because
I still think he has to be Marion's kid, like the actual real life Marion somehow. And maybe the author wrote it in. I have no idea. I don't know how much you can change in like going forward from the portal. Do you know what I mean? Like, how much would have changed?
Right.
In that, because he would have never met Marion. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that was prior to her even meeting Robin Hood, because Regina was just going to kill Snow.
No, because they were married. That's the whole issue. Is that they were married, and that's why Regina was like, I can't break up you and your wife now, especially since you guys have a kid together. This was way after Robin and them got together.
I'm so, well, so Roland had to be alive then when she died.
And I think, are you getting confused with like the ages between Roland and Emma?
Maybe that's it.
Because
because there was another curse in there.
Right, somewhere. And they stayed the same age. Emma grew up.
They never went to Storybrooke and back again.
Right.
Okay. This is the worst show for us.
it's so confusing.
Yeah, and the thing is, we need them to tell us the timeline.
Exactly.
Because we can speculate all we want, but they know what's going on more than we do. So I need, like, their show Bible or something, because this is getting crazy.
I feel like they have to have, like, you know, like, when you go into, like, a kindergarten classroom and there's, like, borders on the wall. Like, they need that across their writer's room to be like, well, if we put someone here and we take this chunk of the timeline and we put it here, like, they need to know where everyone is at every point.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we could use, like, the big landmark events, like, curse happened, so-and-so meets so-and-so. Like, that would be an amazing gift to the fandom if they wanted to just give us a major timeline.
Yeah, yes. And they're like, these people were affected by this curse, but these people didn't time travel during this curse, and these people stayed the same, and
so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, but that is exactly where I was getting confused, was because of how old Roland is versus Emma not even being a thought yet because her parents weren't even together.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Brittany, I'm tasking you with getting a hold of the creators and making them give us a timeline. I will hang that up on my wall because I'll look at it every day.
Forget the family tree. We can figure that out.
Yeah.
We're so used to that now.
I know. That's easy in comparison. Well, okay. Bottom line, Zelina is not Roland's mother.
Yes.
Boom. We're done with that.
Boom. Thank you.
But the last point I want to make for this Robin of the Hood section is that Robin now agrees to be with Marion. He deletes Regina's phone number out of his phone, and he says, yes, I will be here for you. But now we know that Marion is actually Zelina. How crushed do you think Robin's going to be once he finds out? Or do you think he'll be relieved?
I think the hardest thing about a situation like the one they're dealing with is actually making the decision to do what he's going to do. Like, he made the decision. I'm sure he agonized over it. He's had a lot of time to try and decide and make peace with him doing the right thing and staying with his wife and how hard that is. He made that decision. That's the hard part. And now to find out that that was all for naught and Marion was not Marion and, you know, he never had to, that I think is going to be what really, really crushes him when he finds out.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to go a bit crazy and want to murder Gold.
I mean, fair enough, because this is all basically like emotional whiplash. You know, he can decide one thing, but when it turns out that everything's a lie, I think he's going to want to go back to Regina, but it might take some time because he's just going to be so confused. But let's get into the actual present now. So, which actually wasn't a huge part of the episode. A lot of what we saw had to do with Robin in New York City. So now we have Regina trapped in her vault after Rumple took her. And he tells her to call up Robin. And she does. But what ends up happening is Zelina answers, and we sort of get that whole scene between them. And I want to get to the big question at the end, but what do you think's going through Regina's mind right now, knowing that Zelina, of all people, is still alive?
Well, we want to talk about emotional whiplash.
Exactly.
Yeah, this poor woman cannot catch a break.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking, too.
And I mean, did it go through her, I mean, how much time did she really have to absorb the fact that Zelina was Marion? Because is she thinking, has she always been Marion? How long has she been Marion? Did she, you know, like, what is going through her head right now? I feel so bad for Regina. If there's one character who really, really deserves her happy ending at this point, I think it's Regina.
And I think the hardest thing, if I was Regina in this circumstance, would be that I held my evil half-sister's heart in my hand and didn't crush it.
Oh,
like, that hurts. She had it in her hand and she could have killed her.
Oh, man. But it wasn't the right thing to do, so she couldn't.
Well, at that moment, it was not the right thing to do, but it was definitely the right thing to do overall.
Fair enough.
At that moment, it was not right to kill Marion. I get it, but... Oh, that would be the first thing I thought of, because it was the first thing I thought of.
And if you're thinking it, probably Regina is too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Emma and the Charmings are still going through the woods, and they're chasing after the author. The author and Gold meet up, and Gold hands him a magic quill, and this sort of gets the author on Gold's side, I guess. I mean, we got the line from the beginning of the episode where he's none too happy to see Gold because he really doesn't like him, but the author wants to write, and Gold gives him that opportunity. So now Gold sort of has the author in his pocket, and I'm very worried about this.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the first thing, the author is free. We know he's been trapped for a while, so of course one of the first things he's going to want to do is kind of get back to work. But I was so intrigued and wondering, like, he was going after a new quill. He was ready to make one. It was the first thing he wanted to do when he got out of there. I want to know what he was so ready to do. Like, whose life was he going to make hell at this point? Like, I got caught up in thinking about that, and I was like, okay, must focus on episode. But like, yeah, the author being in Gold's pocket thing is troubling, and that whole scene, I was just sitting there staring at it going, no, 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 Emma, come on, no. Like, just get there in time, please.
And I wonder, does he have to write his own life story?
I don't think so, because he's not in the book at all.
True. I just wonder if he was trying to write something to save himself, and if that's the case, like, I mean, I guess he could write the other characters to, like, forget about him or something like that. But I just wonder if he sort of, you know, what's it like being a character in this world who doesn't have a story written for them? Like, how much more free will do you have? What does that mean for your own future? Like, is it really up in the air? Can he control that? Can he give himself more power?
Yeah, and is somebody documenting Storybrooke? Like, because he's been in Storybrooke for a very long time.
Right.
So he needs to, maybe he wants to finish what he was starting in the past when he was writing and got trapped, or I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the fact that the Charmings had already seen him, that he was the peddler. I really did not see that coming, but I thought that was a cool little twist too.
Mm-hmm. And they just keep piling on the bad news, Emma. They're like, yeah. Oh, and by the way, we knew him and we listened to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's kind of the reason we did all that bad stuff. Sorry.
Yeah.
And let's discuss the author folklore a little bit, because August gives us some more insight into that, because there have been multiple authors, Walt Disney being one of them. Did you guys pick up on that?
Yeah, and I think when we talked about this last time, we thought somebody had thought that the author wrote for Disney. No, in that, I rewatched it, and in that section, he's actually naming Walt as one of the authors, which I thought made it better.
Yeah, he was,
I
just really like, he was like, from this person to like a man named Walt.
Yeah,
I think exactly. That's what he said.
Well, yeah. What I want to know is, because now that we know all of this author information, you know, this guy is obviously sort of an outlier. He's not quite been doing what he's supposed to be doing. He doesn't necessarily strike me as a bad guy, but he definitely is doing his own thing, and I'm wondering how much of a wrench he's going to throw in everyone's plans, not just Gold's or, you know, Emma's or the Charmings, but just, you know, everybody in general. And if he's going to come to his senses, or if they can control him, I'm not really sure.
I think it depends on who gets, and it was a matter of who got to him first, and Gold got to him first. And he doesn't, to me at least, seem like the type of person who's going to have a change of heart anytime soon.
Yeah.
Not unless there's something in it for him.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what he wants.
Exactly. He's so sneaky. Like, he just looks like one of those people that you're just like, I do not trust you.
Yeah. And we still have to meet the sorcerer this season. Right? Like, the sorcerer is happening, which I keep forgetting about. Like, there's a whole other chapter, pun intended, that needs to be given to us. We're running out of episodes. We're already on like episode 18.
I know. Like, I saw that.
Like, I don't know how much they can fit into this thing. It's sort of like actually when we did Oz last year, the second half of that season, it was like everything ended and then they had to still go back into the portal. Like, it just never, it's when you think it's over, it's not over. Like, we're kind of nearing a conclusion here by filling in this huge chunk of story. But now it all needs to come together. It needs to come together with Maleficent's storyline. It needs to come together with getting Lily back into the story. We need to get the sorcerer back in the story. The sorcerer's apprentice needs to come out of the hat. Like, there's so much still that needs to happen.
And how many episodes do we have left? 3?
I think they're going to go to 23.
Oh.
I'm not entirely sure. It's 22 or 23.
So we've got 4 or 5 left then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that makes it a little bit better. But yeah, there's still a lot to get through, and we are getting close to the end. So, and they always tend to set up the next season, too, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in those final moments.
I'm kind
of excited. Okay, final sort of issue for this episode and final question is, Rumple poses to Regina, you either help me turn Emma dark, or I have Selena kill Robin. And so she has to choose between Emma and Robin. And at first she's very vehement about, I'm not going to do that to Emma. But when she learns that, you know, Selena is with Robin, there's a really big issue there for her. And in my opinion, at the end of the episode, she kind of does this thing where you kind of see her turning on that evil queen switch. And I'm really worried that Rumple convinced her over to his side. What did you guys think?
I couldn't help but think Like, if she were to turn Emma dark, that has far greater reaching consequences than I think any of them want to think about. Like, the things that could go wrong, the people affected, that affects Henry, that affects Snow and Charming and pretty much everyone. And yeah, I know that this is going to be the world's hardest decision for her to say no again to her own happy ending and to put Robin back into trouble. And I can't see her doing it. I feel like she's come far enough that she can't go backward again and choose Robin wholeheartedly and basically just say, I'm done. Like, you know, it's basically her turning her back on her whole hero role. It's like, is she prepared to do that here? Because that's what she'd be doing if she chooses Robin.
Yeah, I feel like that she's going to come up with something, though. I know she's like kind of like stuck down there with Rumple right now, but I think she'll make a decision where she personally believes that she can manipulate it to her favor. Like, if she chooses Emma, she's going to find a way to defeat Zelina. But if she chooses Robin, there's got to be a way if Emma turns. Emma's probably by season's end going to turn completely to darkness.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that that's coming.
Yeah.
So I think that Regina will be able to still work, like figure out a way to get through to Emma, or her parents will, or something will. Like, because like I said, like Lily needs to come somehow into this story because Maleficent is going to be like bent on finding her, I think. So if like the ultimate darkness suddenly enters a world of magic, because she's living in a world without magic because she was so bad, like what's going to happen when that darkness comes in? Like, could she be used as the catalyst to destroy happy endings or whatever they need a person of pure darkness to do?
I would imagine. But yeah, I think I'm sort of leaning towards where you are, Brittany, where I have a feeling that Regina's going to choose the lesser of two evils. She's going to save Robin's life because that's more of an immediate problem. Whereas if they turn Emma dark, she's probably confident that somehow, some way, they're going to be able to find a way to help her again. Whether that'll be, I don't know, I'd either like to see Henry or Hook be the one to kind of bring her back from that. But they've been teasing us all season with the idea that Emma could be going dark. There's no way we're not going to see that.
Yeah, I agree.
And who knows? I mean, I was going to say maybe that'll happen in season 5 and we'll get a huge storyline of Emma being dark. But considering how many episodes we have left and we're so close on the brink of her going dark, maybe that won't happen.
Hmm. I hope True Love's Kiss breaks her out of her darkness.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking too. I was like, please, please, please,
need it.
Okay, so that was basically the episode. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to mention?
I mean, I have a huge, I wrote like a small tiny paragraph on this in the notes. I just have a huge problem with what magic works in the real world and what magic doesn't. Like now I'm thinking, if was Zelina actually really frozen as Marion, I don't know anymore. Like, because her heart was cold, like it was getting damaged, so she was actually probably sick. But then Gold can be physically affected by what magic has done to him in the real world by suffering real heart attacks. And that elixir will work to fix a magical problem in the real world, but that magical problem should have probably gone away, even though he was using magic to treat it. So I was very confused about that, and I had far more questions than were probably necessary at all.
Yeah, that's kind of a murky area for me too, because I see what you're saying. Like, if it can work in one place and doesn't in the other, but if that's happening to two different people in two different ways, it can get a little confusing. But I just trust that, I don't know, that's just how it works. I try not to question too much.
Magic is both the cause and the curse, which is weird, and that makes it hard.
And how bad was Gold being on life support, like where he was intubated? First of all, it looked like he was like literally just holding it in his mouth, because clearly, I mean, he's not actually intubated on screen, but it was done so poorly. And this hospital was just like 5 hours later after this guy suffered a heart attack and was just like nearly on life support. They're like, okay, you could go. Like, I was
This
so
is your
freaked.
Grey's Anatomy coming into play,
It
isn't it?
is.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're both made by ABC. Like, you could share a little knowledge with each other. Like, just call up, like, Shonda and be like, can you put me in touch with your medical expert? I just need like a just a little thing. That probably wasn't even a heart monitor. It's fine.
Yeah,
Those are all my
well,
gripes. I have a lot more gripes than
okay. Well, if anyone else has any gripes, let us know. We can talk about it on the next episode. But like we said before, fantastic episode. Really liked it. Really want to see what's happening going forward. So we will be back next week to discuss a huge part of Cruella's backstory, which I'm really excited about. So hopefully we can all be back for that. And Laura and Jen will stop vacationing in California, where
sending
it's,
us pictures of the beautiful beaches
yeah,
and
really, really rude. Maybe we'll
zebras.
just kick them off the podcast because
That's
that's not
fine.
nice. Yeah, what would we do without them? That would be terrible. But until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.